Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, Hi, Assalamu Alaikum! For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Go check us out over there and donate. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. This is another edition of the most powerful platform for truth, bar none, anywhere on the web and anywhere on the face of this planet. This is the Star and Crescent Report. Brothers and sisters, I want to share something with you all before we get into the show. I know the show is called It's the Takeover. Just follow the money. But I just want to share something with you. I've been trying to do live shows, schedule live shows. I've been having major, major, major problems doing that. And sometimes I'll schedule the show, but it won't show up. It won't show up on my front page or anything else. It will not allow me to get on sometimes my dashboard. I'm thinking I'm going live, and then I look around. My whole show has disappeared. Also, I've been working on a new platform for us over at Patreon and over on YouTube and in another place. And we almost completed it last night. Me and my son, we were working real hard. And guess what happened? We were attacked by some kind of virus. He left the computer on. He dozed off for a second. Came back with all of the programs and all of the templates and everything that we had gone. The computer itself, the main computer that we use to do the show, is fried. This is what we go through to get this show out to you all. So you should know that this show, bar none, brings you the truth. I'm here. I'm not in my office. I'm sitting at the dining room table knowing that the children are going to be running back and forth just to try to do the show because I'm on a backup little small laptop computer, okay, just to do this show, knowing that there will be children running back and forth and making a lot of noise, you know, but I didn't want to put this off because we don't know when they'll allow us to get back on the air. Every time we try to do this show, they're trying to block it. They're trying to prevent this show. They will allow us to put up, which is crazy to me, they will allow us to put up replays. Isn't that something? But live shows, they're blocking us. So it's just so much that we have to go through to put this show on, and you should show your appreciation and go to the Hiram 1555 blog and donate. Help us out, okay? The show today is titled, It's the Takeover. Just follow the money. Now, the reason we're saying these things is because America is in dire situations. She's a dire straits, black man and black woman, and all of you who listen. She is in dire straits. She is panicking because of what is coming to her, because what she sees over the near horizon. Everything that we have been telling you on this show is happening or is in play to happen. Nobody, and you must, I have to go back to this for a minute because I have to point your attention to something. Nobody, before you heard this show, you had never heard anybody talk on the situation in Libya or the North African, in the Middle Eastern area or the Middle Eastern North African area, which we labeled MENA, which now is the popular term, I may add. If you go to Sputnik, you go to Press TV, you go to these other places, they use the term that we coined on this show, the MENA, Middle Eastern North African region. That's because they listen to what we say. I have a lot of white people that listen to the show that are in the know that contact me behind the scenes, and they tell that you do a mighty fine job of representing Elijah Muhammad's teaching, but your people are not going to accept it. They're not going because the white man has not put his stamp of approval on it. We know this, but Allah is the best knower, and if it pleases him, he can cut through all the garbage and get this truth to whomsoever he desires it to go to. And it goes back to what I was saying to you all about America's in a dire situation. I want you to listen to the show. I'm going to try to play a few clips because I want to lay the groundwork and I want to connect some dots here because we got to get into the economics of what's going on. But first, we have to talk about the geopolitics. We got to tie these things in. And what you see going on with China and the sanctioning of China. And the America intervening in China's internal affairs when she is bothering China over Taiwan and over Hong Kong. And remember, just a year ago, she was talking about the freedom protest. And then she was talking about this and the trade deal and all of these brothers and sisters. America is frightened to death at what she sees coming from the east. So she's trying to do as Elijah Muhammad said that she would do. Hem that yellow man in by all means necessary. But one thing for sure, as Elijah Muhammad taught us, that the yellow man is aware of these things, and he had been making preparations for this. This is why you see the military buildup of China. This is why you see the economic buildup of China. This is why you see the industrial buildup of China. She is challenging America on every front. And America sees this. So now they're trying to restrict China's technological dominance. We won't put it no less than that. China has a technological dominance. There's no other way to see this. If China is the world's leader, and she is at least 5 to 10 years ahead of all nations in 5G technology, then what does that say about her? She's not that backwards, landlocked nation that fought land wars and prepared for land wars. She is a technological superpower now. She also has the number one supercomputer. This didn't happen by chance. America has war game scenarios with her and China, NATO and China, America and Japan against China, America and her Asian allies against China, and in each war game scenario, China walked the dog with them. This is true. But being a bully, if you show your cards, and you know that you don't have a good hand to play with, then people will up the ante and take everything you have. And America knows this. So she's bluffing, this bluster. I'm going to bring something to your attention. matter of fact, let me see, while I'm talking to you before I play the clip, let me see if I can bring it up. Now, mind you, I am on a smaller computer, so I don't have all the stuff that I usually have on my main computer. So, brothers and sisters, you have to give me a second to get these things, okay? Now, I want to read something to you. It was published on multiple outlets a few days ago, especially on the Hiram's 1555 blog. I think we were the second outlet to publish this. But I want you to listen to this. This is by Scott Ritter, the former UN weapons inspector, the one who they tried to put child pornography charges against when he outed America over her plans to bomb and invade Iraq, and when he talked about America's lies over Libya. They tried to plant stuff on his computer to discredit him. But listen to what he has to say, and we're going to read this whole article. This article is not really long, but I want you to see from the perspective of if this man was in the know, and he was the top weapons inspector in the world. In the world. He led UNSCOM. The UN weapons inspection program, he led that. He was the one who was charged with going into different nations to verify whether they had gotten rid of their chemical or biological or nuclear weapons programs. This is Scott Ritter. And the title of this, and believe me, brothers and sisters who are new to the show, who are listening, you have to give us time. We have to lay the base because there's so many things, so many variables here that you must get. Or else you won't see the entire picture. So bear with us, okay? The title of this article is called The U.S. is Militarily and Economically Impotent. What? Impotent? So, do some of you know what impotent is? Huh? Well, let's go to the dictionary. Okay? Here we go. The dictionary of impotent means unable to take effective action. Helpless or powerless, right? So, we know that America is unable to take effective action or she's helpless or she's powerless. For what? She's powerless to stop the onslaught, the economic and the military onslaught of the East overtaking the West geopolitically and economically. Look at this. The number one lender of choice is China globally. The number one manufacturer is China, right? 90% of the stuff on your on the store shelves is from China or subsidized by China through one of her smaller allied nations. Do you understand what this means? The U.S. military gear, the helmets, the uniforms, the boots, all of that comes from China. How the hell are you going to make war with the people who are manufacturing your weapons? Almost all of the microchips that are in your F-16s and F-15s and all of these radars come from China. None of the F-15s, the F-22s, the F-35s could fly without these so-called rare earth materials, which China has a 90% lock on globally. Do you understand? This is very important to you, that you must understand the whole picture. So we can't just look at the economics without looking at the geopolitical. We can't look at the geopolitical without looking at the economics or the political. All of them go hand in hand, and they give you a picture of prophecy. Okay? So, Mr. Ritter says, Mike Pompeo's statement that Beijing's claim in the South China Sea are unlawful was seen by some as a dramatic step toward war. But it's little more than bluster, as the U.S. knows it is not yet capable of taking military action. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo issued a statement this week which rejected as official U.S. policy China's territorial claims in the South China Sea, saying that there was no legal basis for China's claims and accusing China of using intimidatory, tactics against littoral states with competing claims. We are making clear, the statement reads, Beijing's claims to offshore resources across most of the South China Sea are completely unlawful, as it is a campaign of bullying to control them. The world would not allow Beijing to treat the South China Sea as its maritime empire. Stop right there. Why is this such a big issue? Because America is desperate. Listen, her stated policy was to not interfere in the claimants of the South China Sea. Why is she interfering now? This goes on the heels of America interfering in Taiwan by selling weapons. This goes on the heels of America stoking tensions between China and Japan. This goes on the heels of America stoking tensions between South Korea and North Korea. This goes on the heels of America destabilizing Afghanistan so that she can get to the underbelly of Russia, Pakistan, and China. This goes to follow with America coming on the heels of that with her economic war that she's waging, trying to go into a Cold War, trying to outspend China. Here it is. You're going to try to outspend your creditor, right? Because you can print dollar bills. But what you're doing, which the nations are no longer allowing, is you are creating inflation, and they're no longer accepting this inflation. So they're doing currency swap deals. You understand? Some of them have already switched over to the renminbi or the yuan, or they're using it as a dual currency. And this comes on the heel of America also putting pressure on Europe and South and Central America and all these other nations of not to accept Huawei or Huawei, or however you want to pronounce it, the number one leader in 5G technology. So America is trying to undercut and surround China and stop its rise because she understands prophecy. And prophecy says that the yellow man of Asia will rise up and chase down this American white man in every field that she once dominated in. We're watching this in real time. This is no longer something that you read on the books and wait for it to happen. You are living in real time action, as they say in the intelligence community. You're looking at actionable intelligence. All right? So let's go a little further. And I'll see your hand up. I'll get you in just a second. Let me finish my points here, and I'll get you, okay? It says, Under its self-proclaimed 9-line policy, China claims about nine-tenths of the 3.5 million square kilometers in the South China Sea. In addition to asserting territorial claims over existing shoals and islands, China has constructed a series of fortified man-made islands which it has used to assert its presence in the region. Five other nations, the Philippines, Vietnam, Brunei, Malaysia, and Taiwan is not a totally independent nation, according to America's own policy. They say a one-China policy. So one, you have to put Taiwan off that list. Anyway, it says, disputes China's claims and have filed various legal challenges over the years, some of which have been recognized as valid under UN arbitration. Until Pompeo's statement was issued, the official U.S. policy was one of neutrality regarding China's territorial claims. Now the U.S. has lined up against China in a dramatic manner. The timing of Pompeo's statement did not take place in a vacuum. This is what I was telling you. None of this stuff is happening in a vacuum. This happened also after America teased India with superpower status to provoke China. See, when they had their standoff a year ago, it was America behind that standoff. And China wisely talked behind closed doors and told India, listen, you need to calm down or we're going to put the spank on you. But this time, India had, regardless of what you read in the Western press, I have it on official from more than three sources at the heart of this that told me directly that it was India stoking, because India thought that they could win brownie points with the West and get some Western technology and also be used as a counterweight to China. So they stoked the tensions over in that area, and China had warned them on several occasions to stop. And India thought because China was under so much pressure from the West that China would back down. And they found out something different. But this was an American and British plot. But China spanked India so quickly that the West and India had to save face. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, the media that you see is an illusion in how they report stuff. But I got 562, I'm going to get you. Just hang there, okay? 562-618-0460. I will get you. Just let me finish this, and then I'll bring this point home, and I'm going to get you. Just keep your hand up, okay? Let's go to something. Let's go back to this. It says, the timing of Pompeo's statement did not take place in a vacuum. Less than 2 weeks ago, the United States Navy undertook a fresh round of freedom of navigation exercises aimed at putting China on notice that its territorial aspirations in the South China Sea would not go unchallenged. The deployment of two aircraft carrier battle groups was an unprecedented display of military muscle flexing, remarkable not simply for the size and scope of the drill, but rather the context in which it was conducted. So what America did, she sent warships over there, right, to try to pump China, but you never got the Chinese side of the deal. I have it. The Chinese warned America that they're not worried about that. They have everything in place to sink every battleship out there. That's what they warned the U.S. So if America stepped out of line, be prepared to lose whole battle groups. This was what was said. But the media cut this off. Why? Because they want to put on this bravado of imperial power and hubris. They want you to believe that American military might is what it was 30 years ago, and that China's military might is what it was 50 years ago. And to the contrary, they have both flipped upside down. Yesterday, the UK, America's closest ally, said it was intending to station one of its new aircraft carriers in the region, apparently as a measure to counter an increasingly, quote-unquote, assertive China. China has in recent months publicly displayed its own military arsenal, in particular two classes of missiles known as the DF-21 and the DF-26, which have been given the moniker carrier killers. For obvious reasons, the Global Times, an English-language paper published under the auspices of the Chinese Communist Party, made reference to these missiles in a tweet published in response to the deployment of U.S. carriers, noting that China has a wide selection of anti-aircraft carrier weapons like the DF-21D, the DF-26 aircraft carrier killer missiles. South China Sea is fully within the grasp of the PLA. Any U.S. aircraft carrier movement in the region is at the pleasure of the PLA. See, China did not mince words. You see, and why am I saying this to you all? Because I know you're talking about follow the money. I'm trying to get you to see the dots, connect these dots, okay? Because America's under pressure. Her economy is stalling. It's collapsing. So we got to get to this real quick. We got to try to, and I'm reading it fast because I want to try to get to some. Let's see. All right, it says, the importance of the Commandant's guidance is that it is based in reality, not theory. It said, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I skipped down one or two paragraphs. I'm trying to get to something. Please bear with me, okay? It says, okay, I'm going to skip down to this. I'm trying to get down some more so that we don't have to go through the whole article. Pompeo's bluster seemed more intent in driving a wedge between China and its association of Southeast Asian nations, trading partners, many of whom have territorial disputes with China in the South China Sea. They're starting a war. Stop right there. Why was his audience the ASEAN, or the Asian organization, comprised of ASIAN nations? Huh? Why was Pompeo trying to get their attention? Because he understands prophecy. Remember, let me look for something real quick. You brothers and sisters, stop right there. Give me a second, okay? I'm trying to find something. See, I don't have all my books with me because I'm trying to do this in the dining room, at the dining room table, and I'm not used to this. But you got to bear with me, brothers and sisters. I'm going to find something for you, and it's going to be right on this. Here it is, right here. Found it. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. This is something that I've read to you dozens and dozens of times on dozens and dozens of shows. You notice that America's money just continues to fall? You notice that nations are continuing to unite on the outside of America? In a book there in the Bible, it says that they said, come, let us go up against her, noonday. Let us go and take her while she's asleep. This is referring to America. It's the Asiatic nations who are the ones taking her. Stop right there. So why is Pompeo trying to drive a wedge within the Asian organization and the Asian nations? There are multiple reasons why. Because the Asian bloc, the ASEAN, comprised of ASIAN nations, is the largest trading bloc on earth. It's larger than America. It's larger than the European Union. It's the largest trading bloc on earth. And they have agreed to use yuan in trade because China is their largest trading partner. You understand? So his audience was the ASEAN because he was trying to put a wedge in between the Asian nations to stop the movement of them embracing China more and intertwining their economies and their currencies together because he knows that once you do that, it is hard to pull them apart. We have proof of this. Look at America and Europe, right? Once they intertwine their economies and their currencies, they are one and the same in their policies around the world. And so if the ASEAN joins hand with China, it would be the ASIAN nations united. And with them united, using a Asian currency and being the largest trading bloc on earth, especially when you add China in, which is the largest economy on earth. I don't care what you say about America's economy. China's the largest economy on earth. This would doom the dollar, and it would doom American imperialism because she would have nothing to back her military prowess around the world. You understand? And so there's something very serious about Pompeo's targeting of the ASEAN nations. You understand? See, you never even looked at it like that, did you? Come on, tell the truth. You know it's the truth. But let's go further. It says, China has been for years now seeking to strengthen its economic and security ties with the Asian ASEAN bloc, much to the consternation of the U.S. Why? Why is America so concerned about that? Remember, Elijah Muhammad says, it is the Asiatic nations who are the ones laying her low. How can they lay her low if America is the dominant military power? You go after the economics of something, right? And if China is the largest economy and the Asian nations are the largest economic trading bloc on Earth, then you have two key levels to level the geopolitical playing field and bring the American military to heel or to yield. You understand? You understand? Told you all of this is intertwined. So let's go further. It says, indeed, one of the major obstacles faced by the U.S. is confronting China in the South China Sea and the reticence among the very nations Pompeo sought to court in his statement to alienate relations with China, whose status as the region's most economically powerful trading partner, most Asian nations cannot ignore. Here, President Trump's precipitous decision to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership in 2018 has come back to haunt U.S. policymakers. Void of any viable U.S.-led economic alternative, the Asian nations have no choice but to gravitate towards China. You understand? But I'm telling you, Elijah, I thought Elijah Muhammad didn't know what he was talking about, though. Some of you people say this foolishness, right? Right? Some of you say this foolishness. And then you go in the news and it's right there. But I tell you what. It says this right here. By putting down a marker that it views the totality of China's South China Sea claim as legally impermissible, the Trump administration is seeking to influence the diplomatic arena where the various disputes China has with the South China Sea littoral states will be handled for the foreseeable future. In other words, other than words, however, the U.S. has limited leverage that it can apply. Freedom of navigation exercises are an irritant to China, but have done nothing to halt its expansion in the region. And in the aftermath of the collapse of the TPP, the U.S. has failed to put forward any coherent regional economic development strategy to counter that of China. The critical question is to what extent the South China Sea littoral nations are willing to rally around the new U.S. declaratory policy regarding China's ambitions in the South China Sea. Lacking either the military muscle, listen to this good, this is the part I was trying to get to, lacking either the military muscle to compel Chinese change or the economic wherewithal to offer a meaningful alternative to China's economic influence, Pompeo's statement is little more than empty words masking growing U.S. impotence. Stop right there. Again, let us go back to what impotence means. Unable to take effective action, helpless or powerless. Right? All right? So, in closing, it says, the fact that the sole meaningful response to China's stance in the South China Sea being pursued by the U.S. is a radical restructuring of the Marine Corps solely designed to engage China militarily in the region should be worrisome to all. By failing to back up strong rhetoric with meaningful policy options, the U.S. is in danger of backing itself in a corner for which the only solution will be the military tool offered by the Marines. Huh? The entire world should hope and pray that it does not come to that. Why? Why shouldn't it come to that? Because in the previous paragraph he said, lacking either, military muscle to compel Chinese change or the economic wherewithal to offer a meaningful alternative to China's economic influence, Pompeo's statement is little more than empty words masking growing U.S. impotence. You understand? You understand this? So the U.S. military cannot compel the Chinese juggernaut anymore. You understand this? I'm hoping you are paying close attention to this. This is why she has directed her anger at China. This is why she is trying to push all of these nations against China, right? And I'm going to share a secret with y'all, okay? I'm going to share a secret with you guys that you never knew about. And this was given to me firsthand. And I knew this for a while. When this thing blew up, on the Chinese-Indian border. One main reason which made China act and act promptly is because, as I told you on previous shows, that most people don't know that India and America signed a comprehensive military deal. And in this deal, the U.S. could use Indian bases, right? And they were building a base close to the Chinese border. And China got word that U.S. was involved in this. And this could not have gone well in the halls of Beijing. So Beijing told them to cut it out. And they did not. So Beijing seized the area. You understand? That was in dispute. You didn't know that, did you? And I guarantee you, if you Google enough, you'll pull it up, pull some of that stuff up. Your brother's sharing some stuff to you, real-time stuff. Okay? All of this has imperial arrogance written all over this. Because India has not the military nor the economic capability to face up with China. Hell, at the time when China and India went head-to-head in 1962, India was perceived as an economic power over China. India was perceived as a military power over China, and China mopped the floor with them. So now, China is decades far ahead of India economically. India's economy is $2 trillion. China's is between $14 and $20 trillion. China's military is bar none on par with America, and in some cases, surpasses America in radar technology. She surpasses Russia in combat ship technology. This is not the China 40 or 50 years ago. Why? Because the times. See, some of you get stuck in prophecy and you think prophecy is supposed to go on forever. But there's a culmination of things. You know, there's a, what is the word? It's escaping right now. There is a, you know, when things get ready to boil over, you know, when the plot thickens and things get ready to boil over, this is where we are in prophecy. Things are getting ready to boil over. Right? And all of this is being done while America is trying to distract the people at home from what is actually going on, what's taking place in her political arena. As turmoil reigns supreme over her political system, and also as turmoil reigns supreme economically and her domestic policies as well as her international policies. Now, I'm going to go back to the phone line because I said it's 562. I was going to bring them in. And then after that, we got to hit some points because I'm looking at the time and what a time slips by so quick when we're talking about these things. So I'm going to the phone lines real quick. 562, you're on the Star Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. We say unto you, I salam alaikum.
Stand in the place.
562?
For God.
Okay, we gotta mute. They might be having a private conversation, and I don't want their private conversation to get on the air while everybody can hear their private conversation, okay? But anyway, so with these things being said, and brothers and sisters, I'm not asking you to take my words on what I'm saying. I'm saying do some research and see whether or not Rashid is telling you the truth. See, before this thing heated up, and between India and China, I had told them to expect something to go on. Before this thing exploded in the Middle East, I was telling you, it's going to be a hot summer. I even did a premium article on it. It's going to be a hot summer in the Middle East. Why? Because the empire is in a very, very bad situation. I know it. You know it. And they know it. So, let's go here, and let's see, let's go, I want you to listen to this, okay? I'm going to put some clips. I had so many things that I wanted to share with you all. I had it downloaded to my main computer, but of course it was hit by something, and I got to see how much it's going to cost to get that thing fixed, because I think it's just fried. It won't even come back up. The screen will come up and freeze, and that's it, the opening screen, that's it. But let's go, but this is the price you have to pay to get truth out, okay? I want you to pay close attention to this right here. Now they're blocking my clips. Hold on one second.
News with Rick Sanchez.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez, and I want to welcome all of you who are watching us from all over the world, including those of you who are watching on your mobile phones using the portable TV app. It may very well be that while the rest of the world, especially the United States, snoozes, China is moving along with its plans to create the future of money. And what is the future of money? What is China doing that we here in America, for example, are not? Well, get this. It is now testing a new digital currency.
So I stopped it right there. He said the rest of the world is snoozing and China is moving on. Now, I want you to understand something, because as he said that it brought something to mind economically, and I'm going to go back and play that clip because it's about a six-minute clip, but it brought something to mind. I was reading the article, and I posted some articles on the Hiram's 1555 blog, how, you know, about China's economic situation of what is going on, because if you listen to the Western pundits and the so-called Western alternative media, you would think China is just close to total economic collapse. And as I always tell you that, if I hold your debt, right, and I'm in economic trouble, before I collapse, I'm going to call the debt on you, right? But nobody, every pundit, every analyst, every soothsayer and prognosticator, they always leave out that major point there, that America's debt has been held by China. So even if China's economy was in such a dire strait, before they collapse, they would call the debt on America, right? That's common sense. That's the first law of nature, self-preservation. Is that not right? Is that not right? And I'm pretty sure any of you was in that situation, that your livelihood of your family was at stake and you held the debt of someone else. You would call in that debt to secure you and your family, right? Nobody analyzes it like this. But again, on this article, on these articles that was coming out, remember that this is being done with tremendous pressure being put on these nations to drop Huawei and all of these other Chinese companies, right? And do you know, I think it's like out of the top 10 companies in the world, I believe only one or two are U.S. now, something like that. I had the clips and everything on the other computer I was going to share with you all. But anyway, so there's tremendous pressure, political pressure. There's tremendous economic pressure being brought to bear by the empire. There's tremendous geopolitical pressure being brought to bear by the empire against China. And then this news comes out yesterday, day before yesterday, that China's economy has already rebounded from this so-called global collapse, growing about 3.6%, while America's economy is in a tailspin. Now, I want to ask you something, because I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the butter knife either. If America continues to lose jobs, if America's business continues to shutter and go bankrupt, if America continues to hyperinflate and continues to deficit spend and continues to borrow and continues to print money infinitum, how in the hell can she be the number one economy in the world? Especially with our economy still in a tailspin, according to their own report. I'm asking you these things. And if she's no longer the number one economy, then this would give more understanding to why she's so fearful and so hell-bent on trying to prevent China from rising, right? Because she no longer wants to be, because she no longer is number one, she does not want a non-white nation to be number one. You understand? All of this has to do with the geopolitical pressure. All of this has to do with the political situation that is pervasive within America and around the globe. We are looking, what I'm trying to get to you is telling you that the world of the white man is collapsing. Adam's days are up. Some of you don't like to hear that because you want to, you love your integration and you love this and you love boss man. Right? But the truth of the matter is that we are in the early morning of the seventh day. And Adam doesn't work on the seventh. Adam goes to sleep. He's only given 6 days to labor and to bring everything under his dominion. But and after that, he's put to sleep. He's killed. This is where we at. You've got to realize this. This is no coincidence that America's economy is in dire straits, that the European Union economy is in dire straits. They're losing economic clout. They're losing political clout. They're losing their geopolitical foothold over the entire globe. Their money is dissipating and losing value. Their culture is being rejected the globe, all over the globe. And it's happening in a time that we told you the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period. And it's happening at a breakneck speed. This does not happen by coincidence. Huh? It doesn't. It doesn't happen by coincidence. Brother Rashid, keep your hand up. Because I want to play the six-minute clip. I want to get a few clips in, but I want to play the... No, you know what? I'm going to bring you in for a minute, and then I'll go back to the six-minute clip, and then I'll bring you back in a second time, okay? So I'm going to bring you in right now, my brother. Brother, I say unto you, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself, my brother?
Just fine, brother. This is the main thing, what you just said. The white world is collapsing. They understand it.
Yeah.
And what the other people around the world, they don't understand is they want the white world, or it's got to be a white nation to rule the world.
Yep.
If somebody else, they don't.
Yep.
That is the main thing that they are the nations are fearful of China, because China's not a white nation.
That's right.
China is eating her, like you say, eating her lunch, brother. That dragon is on the rise. China has the biggest naval shipbuilding operation out there.
Yep.
We've seen on one of those articles, China's building 7 destroyers at once. America built 1 destroyer, go out 2 months and got to drag it back into the port because it didn't, the engines didn't boom down.
Yep.
She's going on her past glory. I used to be this. You're nothing now. You know, like the bully running around beating up everybody. Then all of a sudden, somebody get into his clock, and then all of a sudden, he's looking fearful. That's exactly what's happening to America. She know that she can't. She can't win. China, Russia, and now Iran put that deal on. Pakistan is behind China. Turkey is trying to go with those things. That's a lot of landmass that they don't control no more.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stay on the line, brother. Go on and do the clip.
Okay, I'll bring you back in shortly, brother. I'm going to mute you real quick. Okay, now, again, China is eating America's lunch. And listen, they say America uses this, and they love to use code words. They'll say China is challenging the rules-based order. What rules? You mean the rules that allow you to go in and bomb people at will with no repercussions? The rules that allows you to go and siphon off the wealth of other nations and then proclaim that you are a human rights defender as you kill millions, right? What did Madeleine Albright say when they asked her about the sanctions and the bombing of Iraq and how it killed millions of Iraq? Well, we think it was worth the price. To get rid of him, it was worth the price. Millions of lives lost. The second former Secretary of State said it was worth the cost. Right? What rules-based order? The rules based on you being able to change them whenever it fits your need? Huh? So this is code words for challenging the white world. The white world order. Those are code words. International community. And it'll be just America and Europe. And Europe, half, all of Europe and America don't comprise a population of one-third of Africa. But that is the international community. What they're telling you is that you don't matter. But you don't get this. Well, China's challenging the international community. Well, the international community is such as that China's isolated because the international community, what international community? The European Union and America. 500, 700 million people together. And it's 8 billion on the planet. This is arrogance. But again, let's go back to something. See, because when I get talking about this, I get talking about it. Because some of you don't even think. You never analyze the stuff that they're saying. But all praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm telling you it from the heart and from the soul. It is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now listen, we'll go back to this.
News with Rick Sanchez.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez, and I want to welcome all of you who are watching us from all over the world, including those of you who are watching on your mobile phones using the portable TV app. It may very well be that while the rest of the world, especially the United States, snoozes, China is moving along with its plans to create the future of money. And what is the future of money? What is China doing that we here in America, for example, are not? Well, get this. It is now testing a new digital currency. So here is what we know. China's central bank is confirming today that it's going to be testing a mobile app for storing and exchanging the yuan, not as a paper entity, by the way, but rather as a digital entity, like, for example, Bitcoin. The world learned about this when this screenshot appeared on social media. Take a look at that right there. See it? You can see there from the image that this appears to be sort of a marketing tool to get citizens, Chinese citizens, comfortable with the idea of using and trusting digital currency. Now, it's important to mention that China is stressing that this really is, quote, only a test. But is it? And if it isn't, why are they so ahead of the game at this point? Forbes, right? Forbes, one of the world's leading business periodicals, is warning the White House right now, the Trump administration, not to continue its present course of banning and attacking cryptocurrency. In fact, let me show you this recent headline from Forbes. It says, quote, "Why Trump should unveil a U.S. answer to Bitcoin to rival China's digital yuan. Should the White House heed that advice?" So what are we going to do? We're going to attempt to break this story down for you right here on the News with Rick Sanchez, where we remain convinced that stories like this show that it really is time to do news again. All right, here we go with the list of the questions we think you'll be asking tomorrow. Is the United States making a mistake by not competing directly with China in digital currency? What are global bankers doing about unpaid mortgages and other loans? It's an incredible story, by the way. A lot of dimensions to that. And then why are near riots breaking out in Israel? And what's it all got to do with Bibi Netanyahu? All right, let's begin with the question of what China is doing and why it may be critically important to almost any and every person who uses money to exchange goods and services. This quotation, supposedly uttered by Meyer Rothschild in the 1700s, may best explain this story. And I'm going to give you the quote. "He who controls the money controls the world." Right now, the U.S. really controls the money, but China is vying for that control. And testing digital currency may be, some say, a step in that direction. Let's begin today with RT correspondent Ben Swan.
Well, that's right, Rick. The PBOC, or the People's Bank of China, is moving forward with testing out its brand new digital currency, the first major test of this digital currency. And yes, it appears that it will be done through a very popular food delivery service called Meituan. Meituan is one of the largest apps in China with nearly 500 million users. It is owned by Chinese tech giant Tencent, and it has about 65% share of the market. This makes Meituan the perfect testing ground for China's central bank backed by digital currency. It's a project that has been underway now for over 6 years. Chinese authorities are pushing to have the digital currency fully operational, they say, and in use by 2022 for the Olympics that will be held in China, a place where they can showcase to the rest of the world this digital currency. Still, a lot of questions about how this digital currency will work in comparison to actual cryptocurrencies. We do know this, that the Chinese currency will be linked to a holder's smartphone number and transactions will take place through an app. And pretty interesting here, Rick, reports indicate that not only will you be able to use an app in order to buy and sell and exchange using this digital currency, but that the technology will be designed in such a way that you can actually tap your phone to another phone in order to make a transaction. The idea is to simulate the process of paying with cash, handing cash back and forth between two individuals. But again, all of this on digital currency and all of it happening through a smartphone. For the News with Rick Sanchez, I'm Ben Swan.
Thank you so much, Ben. Ben's always so good at being able to put those stories together and explaining them to us. And now we're joined by Christy Eye. Christy's a market analyst and the co-host of Boom Bust here on RT America. Christy, I think you probably heard that quote that I read from Forbes magazine when they're warning the United States, specifically the Trump White House. They're saying, look, you know, stop calling out everything having to do with digital currency as a joke. Stop attacking it. And instead, you should be jumping on board. Are they right?
They're absolutely right. I mean, China's progress towards testing and launching its digital currency has only gained momentum during this entire pandemic crisis. So now for the U.S., that means that they have even fallen further behind, as they have pretty much already lost the battle over 5G. And right now, this entire thing, this threatens the U.S.'s financial dominance, because the pressure is on for the U.S. to also respond and to create their own form of central bank digital currency. Because if China successfully launches this CBDC, it could result in the widespread adoption of this digital RMB to be used in emerging markets economies and international trade. So countries would actually no longer be beholden and dependent on the U.S. dollar for trade.
So there you have it. It's not about freedom of navigation in the South China Sea. It's not about America being an arbitrator in the Indian border dispute. It's not about America looking to reunify the Koreas or leave Japan or leave Afghanistan. It's not about none of that. It's about China threatening America's dominance and threatening America's financial hegemony, threatening the dollar, which is the blood of the military or the war machine of the American empire. Without the dollar being accepted as the international trade of choice, currency of trade, then the war machine has no funding. Without no funding, America cannot keep 5,000 bases open or logistical training centers open. America cannot be in everybody's business. America cannot fund at infinitum her budget deficits. That means a fallen republic, a collapsing empire. And this is the gist of the matter. She sees it all falling. What's the book Elijah Muhammad wrote? The fall of America, right? We see the fall of America. Not only do we see the fall of America, we are actually living in the fall of America. And that's something that you should think about, okay? Now, I got so many clips I want to play for you all. So I'm going to play something, right? And I want, when I play this clip, I think this is the clip here. When I play this clip here, I don't know which one this is, but I'm going to play one of these clips. One of them is from CBS. And this clip took place in 2014. If it's not the clip, I'll know if it's the clip when I play. If it's not the first one, I'll stop it and I'll play the second clip. Because, like I said, some of the stuff that I was trying to download got erased. Some of the names got erased off. So I don't know some of the stuff on my dashboard, okay? So you guys got to bear with me. But anyway, this is something, because I was doing research, and I was like, man, I could have swore they said America was overtaken by China 5 years ago or 6 years ago or 7 years ago. So I was doing research on it, and I pulled up some stuff. But I want to see if this is the clip here. If not, I got the other one that should be the clip. So listen close to this.
This was another wild day.
This is it. This is the clip. I want you to remember that this clip, it's from 2014, okay? Keep that date in mind, 2014. And with that in mind, think about how America has pumped more debt into her system, right? Printed more currency, spent more money in these budgets that she doesn't have, borrowed more money, right? Became more unstable while China's economy is benefiting from her manufacturing capacity, her trade output, and her sound money that she has in votes, which some, Peter Schiff and Gregory Mannarino and Jim Rogers, them say that China is talking about she only has 1 to 2,000 tons of gold, when in actuality China has between 20 and 40,000 tons of gold. I'm going to say between, they say between the Shanghai gold exchange and what goes in through Hong Kong, China has between 20 and 40,000 tons of gold that they have not spoken about, and they are waiting for the right moment to introduce it. So with that being known, remember this clip from 2014, and then it'll put it in the proper perspective of where America is economically and where China is, okay? This is a three-minute clip. Pay close attention.
This was another wild day in a wild week on Wall Street. The Dow plunged nearly 335 points today, its biggest point drop of the year. But just yesterday, it was up nearly 275, its biggest gain of the year. And the day before that, it fell 273. And by the way, after all that bungee jumping, the index is up only half of 1% for the entire year. Let's bring in Anthony Mason. Now, Anthony, what is going on?
Yeah, Scott, it was the Dow's worst day since February. The market's been whipsawed all week, trying to figure out just where the global economy is. It rallied 275 points yesterday when the Federal Reserve minutes showed the Fed intends to keep interest rates low. But it lost all of that and more today on worries about slowing growth in Europe, where some analysts now fear the possibility, Scott, of a double-dip recession.
And as we were watching the Dow bounce around, came the news today that China has surpassed the United States as the largest economy in the world.
Yeah, the trend line's been clear for a while, Scott, but the International Monetary Fund says that by one measure, China has now passed us, and the shift in economic power is visible right here on the streets of New York.
Mark Waldorf Astoria Hotel on Park Avenue is where President Obama stays when visiting New York. In 1974, when China's future premier, Deng Xiaoping, first visited the U.S., he stayed at the Waldorf. Now, a firm led by Deng's grandson-in-law is buying the Waldorf. In the largest deal ever by a Chinese investor for an American building, Anbang Insurance will pay almost $2 billion to buy the hotel from Hilton. And the IMF says China's surging economic power will this year surpass the U.S. when China's GDP, adjusted for purchasing power, will hit $17.6 trillion to the U.S. economy's $17.4 trillion.
How fast is China growing at this point?
The Chinese economy is growing at the slowest it's grown in a generation, which is just over 7%.
Bill Adams of PNC Financial says that's still more than double the U.S.
In the U.S., we'd kill for 7% real GDP growth. But by Chinese standards, that's very, very slow. And wages are rising very quickly, so it's no longer a cheap labor supply in China. So a lot of the drivers of that old growth model have sort of been used up.
The U.S. had been the world's biggest economy since 1872, when we surpassed Britain. And in raw dollars, the U.S. remains number one. U.S. GDP is more than $17 trillion. China's is just over $10 trillion.
But economists estimate China will surpass us by that measure, too, within a decade. Together, the U.S. and China account for fully one-third of the global economy.
Thanks, Anthony.
So, that was in 2014. Now, I'm just saying, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but that was in 2014. And China has surpassed the United States as the world's largest economy in the matter where it really counts, purchasing power parity. That is the main level of power of an economy, the purchasing power. Now, the reason America still had a bigger economy when it comes to dollars is because they are the printers of dollars. Common sense tells you that. Just like when America passed Britain, and the pound was the world's currency, Britain still, at that time, had a bigger economy in pounds because the British printed pounds. You understand? Brothers and sisters, listen, if that was 2014, right? and we see the economic situation that America is in right now, and we've been seeing the breakdown. I'm not talking about a dozen. I'm talking about 100, but we're talking about on a yearly basis, thousands upon thousands of store closings and banks closing and credit union closing. And I was talking to my wife the other day, and we were talking about one of the credit unions that we deal with, and I was getting ready to go up to one of the offices, the main offices that I would go to. And she said, "Oh, do you know that one's closed down?" I was like, "What?" She said, "Yeah, they closed that office." I was like, "What?" They said they relocated. I said, "Well, where did they relocate?" She said, "They never told you where they relocated at." This devil is something else, I'm telling you. My wife is in the other room. If you think I'm lying, I'll call her and she'll tell you that this devil is something else. But think about this. When a bank closes and the bank has 30 branches, right? We just say one bank closed. We don't say 30 branches closed with dozens of employees. So if hundreds of banks closed and each one having dozens of branches and hundreds of credit unions closes, and they have dozens of branches, these reach into the thousands, right? And then if these stores close, and these stores have 200 and 300 and 400 branches, this is an economic catastrophe. And this has been going on before 2014, and it has escalated and intensified up to the very day. Where they're talking about 25,000 store closings supposed to take place. Hell, I believe in the first part of this year, what did they say, 17,000 or something took place? This is crazy. So how can you maintain your position as the number one economy if you're continuing to grow in unemployment, continuing to seeing businesses go belly up, bankrupt, right? And you're continuing to spend in deficit? I tell you what, if that is the recipe for success, everybody that's listening to the show, throw away all of your sound advice, go to every bank, apply for loans and say, "Listen, I'm worth $50,000, but I'm going to need you to give me a $500,000 loan. I need this $500,000 loan so that I can go get another $500,000 loan from the next bank, and then I need that to go get another." See how far that'll go. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Because you're spending money that's not yours. And you continue to bury yourself in debt. So how is that sound if it's the government then? If it's not sound for you, how the hell can it be sound for the government? I'm asking. I'm just asking these things. Go to the phone lines real quick. But I'm going to play some clips. Brothers and sisters, if we get a chance to, we're going to play a few more clips, but let me go to the phone line real quick because I do want to play another clip on this matter. I got to bring in my good brother, Brother Gerald. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, as-salam, sir.
How's it going, my brother?
It's going good, brother. All praise due to Allah. It just goes to show you, brother, that China is playing chess while America is playing checkers, brother. You know, China just continues to show, you know, what they are and what they're doing behind the scenes along with Russia in terms of bringing America down. While America continues to print money, the world's largest debt holder in the history of the world continue to print money on an unfathomable scale, while China is the number one hoarder of gold along with Russia. So what is that telling you? That's telling you what they see futuristically-wise, what other countries will be doing in the way of trade. They're going to abandon the dollar because the dollar does not have any sound backing of value. And you've said that many times on the show in relation to the messenger also saying in the fall of America in 1971 when Richard Nixon went off the gold and the silver standard, that sealed, you know, America's doom for America and England. So after that time, you know, the dollar has continued, you know, its basic fall, you know, ever since the coming of Master Fraud Muhammad, who has set his hand against America. So China is the new. So they have to go and attack China, basically, in the South China Sea, as the messenger said. You know, they're trying to hem her in to keep her from coming out. The messenger said, for 50 years, China had been preparing to take on America. That was when the messenger was amongst us. And then the messenger said one key note, and I'm sure you're aware of this. The messenger said that America really wants to come out of Asia, but she has to put on this false narrative that she's still a power, and this is for the number one people in which that she wants to keep suppressed, and that's the black man and woman of America. She wants to continue keeping this narrative over us that she is a powerful nation. But I really wanted to get some, brother. It's an article in the South China Post, and I don't want to take too much of the time. But
what's the title of it? Because it's something that I wanted to talk about on the South China Post too.
Yes, sir. It says about China's foreign minister. U.S. has lost its mind, moral credibility. China's foreign minister tells Russian counterpart. It goes on to say, America has pushed egoism, unilateralism, and bullying to the limit. And that's not what a great power should be about, Wang Yi tells Sergey Lavrov. U.S. has resorted to extreme measures and even created hot spots and confrontations in international relationships, he says. China's foreign minister told his Russian counterpart on Friday that the United States has lost its mind, morals, and credibility while saying Beijing and Moscow should work together on issues of global importance, like COVID-19 and regional security. The U.S. has bluntly pursued its America's First policy, pushing egoism, unilateralism, and bullying to the limit. And that's not what a great power should be about, Wang Yi was quoted by Beijing as telling Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov in a telephone conversation. The U.S., which has resorted to extreme measures and even created hotspots and confrontations in international relationships, has lost its mind, morals, and credibility, he said. In a statement issued by the Chinese Foreign Ministry on Saturday, Wang was quoted as saying the U.S. has adopted a Cold War mentality and revived McCarthyism, a reference to the anti-communist crusades led by then-Senator for Wisconsin, Joseph McCarthy, that swept America in the 1950s. The U.S. has retaken the notorious McCarthyism and outdated Cold War mentality and it's intentionally stirred up ideological opposition, which breaches the bottom line and basic norms of international laws and international relationships, Wang told Lavrov. China would never let a small group of anti-China forces take the lead, but will firmly defend its reasonable interests and dignity. Wang even went so far as to say that the U.S. has failed in its duties as a great power by shrinking its responsibilities and trying to discredit other nations. On the subject of China's ties with Russia, Wang said Beijing wanted to boost its strategic coordination with Moscow, describing their relationship as a priority. The two nations should maintain the momentum of communication at every level and deepen anti-pandemic and practical cooperation while strengthening strategic coordination on major international and regional affairs, he said. They should also work together with other countries to oppose deeds that destroy international order and resist the trends of history to maintain world peace, he said. That comment echoed a commitment made by Chinese President Xi Jinping and Russian President Vladimir Putin last week when they pledged in a telephone conversation to strengthen their strategic partnership. That call came after Putin had secured constitutional amendments that could see him stay in power until at least 2036. According to the foreign ministry statement, Lavrov responded to Wang's comments by saying Russia also opposed unilateralism and that the U.S. had torn apart its disguise and had threatened many countries with sanctions. The release of the transcript was a rare move by Beijing, which seldom makes public such harsh criticism of other nations by a senior official. Wang's remarks came as the relationship between China and U.S. continues to sour, with the two sides facing off on a range of issues from Beijing's imposition of a national security law in Hong Kong and the other origins of the COVID-19 pandemic to military clashes and territorial disputes in the South China Sea.
This hold up, brother. Hold up, hold up. I got a break. I got some breaking news. I got to interrupt you for a minute.
This is from
Zhen Hao, one of the Chinese newspapers that just reported. It says from China, Russia, and Iran unite to confront U.S. unilateralism.
Yes,
now, that is a headline there.
Yes,
China,
sir.
Russia, and Iran unite to confront U.S. unilateralism.
That's right.
What is that? The Asiatic nations who are the ones, right?
Laying her low. And I'm sure you're aware of this, that China and Iran just inked, $400 billion trade deal internationally with Iran to overcome those sanctions to help Iran. So China is going everywhere America was to basically help these countries out that America wants to destroy. Just lastly, real quick, brother, I'm going to finish this here. So it goes on to say this week, U.S. President Donald Trump signed an executive order ending Hong Kong's preferential trade treatment and acting a bill that would require sanctions against foreign individuals and banks that contributed to the erosion of the city's autonomy. The U.S. also explicitly rejected Beijing's claim to almost all of the resource-rich South China Sea and has stepped up its military activity in the region, including selling two aircraft carrier strike groups through the disputed water. Now, that's just what it is, the South Sea. Now, what is America doing thousands of miles trying to dictate China in their own waters of how they should control their sales in their own territorial waters, brother? America's mad, but a lot has their minds, brother, and they are going mad like crazy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go continue on your show, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Now I'm going to bring Brother Rashid in because I see his hand up again. Brothers and sisters, listen, we're going to try to get to some of these economic clips. I know the time is short, but I got to bring Brother Rashid in. Brother Rashid, I got to ask you a question, brother. You there?
Yes, sir.
You heard what Brother Jeff said about that deal signed by Iran and China?
That's right.
Who told you about that, brother?
You told me about that, brother.
Told you about it before it even was announced, right?
This is true. Also, brother,
I told the brother before it ever came out in the news because I had got the information long before it ever hit the paper. The brother called me and told me, boom. So I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this, go ahead, brother. Just go ahead because the time is limited. Go ahead, brother.
Remember what Brother Gerald, the article said. Roy Cohn, said about McCarthyism. Joe McCarthy. Who was Joe McCarthy's lawyer when all of this Red Scare was going on? Roy Cohn, the one who trained Donald Trump.
Yep.
The only thing he knows how to do is act like a gangster.
Yep.
Roy Cohn was a Jewish mob lawyer, and he trained Donald Trump, right?
Yep.
And he's getting ready to go, if you don't do something, you know how the old mob is, you better pay me for protection. What? And you better do this, and you better do that. And that's all Donald Trump knows how to do. He knows nothing but to act like a gangster. And Allah put this guy in charge. Remember, the presidents before Obama, Bush, and they never did anything like this. But this is the guy that's up there to bring down America crazy, like what the guy said, lost his mind. His niece said that he was what? He was a psychopath who shouldn't be controlling nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what Allah put. You see, like you said, Allah puts people in, comes and destroys nations, and it don't happen like next week. What did it say to Noah was teaching for 300 years before the flood came? What, man, he only been around here 60, 70, 80 years, not 90 years. But the foundation was laid back in the, what did the man say, 1966 Savior's Day. The destruction begins this year, 1966. I seen Ronald, in the 80s, I seen Ronald Reagan, Thomas Tip O'Neill, and George Bush Jr., when Ronald Reagan was the president, on a on television, and Ronald Reagan said this crippling inflation has been with us since the summer of 1966. What happened? Instead of paying his bills back in 66, everything went on the credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, over time, that bill must be due. And this is what the deal is. He has no gold. China and Russia them got all of the gold. So if we go into a gold-backed currency or something because the monetary system is shaky, then what does that leave America? That leaves America with some cat that, what Donald Trump did is himself, filed bankruptcy, borrowed, what, $1 billion and filed bankruptcy and said that the bank that loaned him the money, they were the criminals. Ain't that what America doing?
Yep.
All this didn't he just have put out about $7 trillion worth of stimulus? China didn't do that. For this pandemic, just printing up $7 trillion, give everybody $1,000, $1,200 or whatever, and his companies give them billions and billions of dollars. He is in debt, and he's going down, 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 down. Well, I'm brother.
Well, alaikum salam. I'm glad the brother brought that up about the $7 trillion. I got a clip. I actually got a clip on that, believe it or not. But I want to follow something up first. There's so much I got to follow up. Brother Jerry, I got to follow something up on what he said. He talked about what the Chinese said, that America has lost their mind. Well, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, the phrase lose your mind means to become mentally ill or to start behaving in a silly or strange way. We see that with all these nations always talking about how Americans are behaving in such a strange way. Now, I want to go to this clip. I want to go to this article real quick because it's a headline. It says, China minimized economic impact while U.S. risks becoming zombie country, academic says. Now, it reads like this. Chinese exports and imports grew in June more than projected. According to the data published by the National Bureau of Statistics of China, exports grew by 0.5% compared to the same period last year, while imports increased by 2.7%. These positive dynamics reflect that China is recovering from the crisis faster than expected. This is the first time since the coronavirus outbreak when both China's exports and imports have started to grow. Most analysts expected that June would remain a month of recession. Imports would drop by 10% and exports by 1.5%. However, fiscal stimulus measures as well as investments in infrastructure and real estate yielded quick results. Excuse me. Demand for imported rolled steel reached its peak for the last 33 months. It grew by 9.6%. I'm getting to something, so listen close to what I'm saying because I'm getting to something. Imports of the crude oil also reached maximum values, climbing 9.9%. Here, the demand was also spurred by Chinese oil refiners who sought to fill their storage facilities while the oil price was low. As a result, imports from some countries into the PRC increased at a double-digit rate. For example, June imports from the U.S. to China increased by 11.3%, although in May this figure was in the negative zone. Despite the pessimistic statements of some U.S. politicians regarding the trade agreement, Chinese companies tried their best to fulfill the terms of the deal between the two countries that was concluded in January. We're getting down to something, black man and black woman. I want y'all to listen closely to me. Just pay attention to this stuff, okay? I know it's a lot of numbers, and I know it's, but this stuff has everything. You've got to follow the money, okay? It says, on the one hand, the easing of restrictive measures in response to the epidemic abroad contributed to the growth of exports. Many countries have begun to gradually open up their economies and resume business activities. At the same time, increasing global demand for protective masks, gloves, and other medical products and technological equipment also contributed to the increase in Chinese export. Because believe it or not, black man and woman, most medicines, most equipment that you got in your hospitals, they come from China. You didn't know that, did you? And the stuff that India imports, which is a major import business for India, they have to get the raw materials for their medicines from China. Okay, let's go further. According to Chinese statistics, China's exports of medicines and pharmaceuticals increased by 23.6% in the second quarter. The sales of medical equipment to other countries soared by 46.4%. China has undertaken various economic support measures. The authorities called on commercial banks to provide loans to support small business by at least 1 trillion yuan at low interest rates. I know this is I know it's tedious, but pay attention, brothers and sisters, because we're going to get down to some. All of this stuff is going to be worth it. Watch. It says, the People's Bank of China will buy back up to 400 billion yuan of these loans from commercial banks for 1 year. This will help commercial banks to cope with liquidity shortages. Furthermore, 3.6 trillion yuan will be invested in the real sector, including in digital infrastructure through the issuance of special government bonds as well as local government special purpose bonds. Finally, through various fiscal exemptions as well as increasing the budget deficit to 3.6% of GDP, remember the United States budget deficit is over 100% of GDP. They don't want to tell you that, though. But China increased the budget deficit to 3.6% of GDP. Companies will attain an additional 3.3 trillion yuan of liquidity, which can also be used to restore business activities. On the whole, China successfully coped with the first wave of the epidemic and was able to minimize economic losses. Jia Jingjing, assistant dean of the Chongyang Institute for Financial Studies at the Renmin University of China, told Sputnik, listen to this part here. This is where I was getting to. I read all of that to get to this part, okay? China has effectively coped with the first wave of the epidemic now. It has managed to minimize the impact on the economy. Judging by domestic and foreign demand, we see that the measures are yielding results. However, the epidemiological situation remains uncertain, especially in some countries, including the U.S., where the epidemic is likely to spread. The situation is very difficult to predict, he said. Despite the fact that China may have been able to minimize the impact of the epidemic for itself due to China's involvement in the global value chain, the country is highly dependent on the situation in the world economy. At the same time, the U.S., as the expert notes, remains the hidden threat to the global economy and finance. In terms of the financial or macro level, the greatest latent risk comes from the U.S. She's no longer an asset to the global economy. She's no longer an asset in trade. She's no longer an asset in politics. She has become a liability. You understand? The U.S. has adopted a financial support program that ends this month. It has not yet been announced what the next steps will be, but there are serious financial risks in the current situation that come from the U.S. In June, U.S. federal revenues accounted for only one-fifth of expenditures. Now, you try to live like that. You bring in $1,000 a month but spend $5,000 and see how well that goes into perpetuity. Now, listen, this means that the U.S. will face problems servicing its own debt in the future. The United States is paying almost $1 trillion as it is to service that debt. Now, if interest rate goes up, boom goes the dynamite. Listen to what he says. This means that the U.S. will face problems servicing its own debt in the future. As debt accumulates, the U.S. is becoming a zombie country. And this is the real danger for the global economy. You heard what he just said? What did he just say? The U.S. is no longer an asset. It is the greatest liability for the global economy, right? Is that not right? I'm asking you. Because media will have you believe that it's all about the U.S. in the global economy. The U.S. is the center of the global economy, right? Right? But in real life, the U.S. is not. Is that not right? According to what? The financial people in the know. The U.S. has become the greatest obstacle and liability, right? Because it's going to have problems servicing its own debt. What kind of problem? As the interest rate shoot up, and as America accumulates more debt, she's going to become more desperate. And she'll believe that war can help her out of this situation. If we go to war, we can default on China's, the debt we have to China. If we go to war, we can rearrange the global order and still maintain our primacy. Right? Right? Oh, brothers and sisters, it's something else. They call it a zombie. Right? A zombie. I'll tell you what, let's go to something. Let's try to find out what the definition of zombie is, okay? Let's go to dictionary.com real quick. It says zombie. In voodoo, the body of a dead person given the semblance of life, but mute and willless by a supernatural force, usually for some evil purpose. The supernatural force itself. A person whose behavior or response are wooden, listless, or seemingly rote. Automaton. An eccentric or peculiar person. Right? This is America. They call her a zombie nation. I don't know. I don't think you understand the ramifications of that. Let me read that last thing. Okay? I know we're out of time, but I'm going to read this part again because I read all of that other stuff to get to this part. This